This is part two of our Shiur on Birkat HaMazon. Started last week with the opening piece where we looked at the pasuk ve'achalta v'savata v'achtata Adonai v'achal ashtar v'ashtar tamlach. We looked at the various midrashei halacha that pulled different brachot from that pasuk and identified that Birkat HaMazon de'oraita, the Torah mitzvah of Birkat HaMazon, at the very least includes three different brachot. It may include four, according to some of the opinions. Hatov Meti was Doraita, and then was even a mention of Zimun being Doraita. So it's like a range there, but the three basic ones are Doraita, which left us with a little bit of a question, which is that we had a sort of a history lesson, as it were, of who composed the Brachot, and we said that Moshe composed the Birchat Hazan when the man came down, and that was when that got established. And that Yoshua established Brachat Haaretz when they came to the land. So right away, I have to ask the question, don't we assume that if a mitzvah is d'oraita, that means Bnei Yisrael were obligated to do it from Har Sinai? So for the 40 years they were in the desert, they were obligated to say Birkat HaMazon. Birkat HaMazon only included one bracha. How can the other two be d'oraita? And that the bracha of Yerushalayim was only established when David built Yerushalayim, or conquered Yerushalayim and established it. And Shlomo, years later, when he dedicated the Beit HaMikdash, added the Al Habayit HaGadol. So we're left with some questions. At the very end of the shiur last week, I mentioned that Birkat HaMazon has this three-part sequence of praise, thanks, and request, and that it mirrors the system of tefillah, with this obvious change being that instead of thanks being in the middle, a request is in the middle in tefillah. And we talked about what that was about. But now what I'd like to do is take a look. We looked at the pasuk, and at the main Midrashei Halacha, we stayed premillennial, if you will, just about. I want to now look at the Rishonim and see how they deal with this, because they're actually going to deal with the problem of what Birkat HaMazon Doraita is, and it's actually going to give us, hopefully, a fresh and a broader insight into a broader issue about tefillah and about brachot. Before going ahead, I just on the way here, got the news that elderly friend, a man is in his 90s, who had made Aliyah years ago and was living in the retirement home in Geula, a fellow by the name of David Subar, just passed away. He was a very, very special man, very nice man, a man of real ethical standing, and somebody who was a pillar of his community in Rochester, New York, for many, many years. And I actually finally got in touch with him this summer. Because I finally got his number and called him, and I'd called him the year before and had missed him, and so I called him this summer and we had a nice chat, and it was very beautiful to hear him, to hear his voice and hear the simple tamim type of emunah that his life was about, and to hear that voice in Eretz Yisrael. So he was buried last week. The family just got up from Shiva, so he's Zichro Baruch. May his memory be a blessing. And here we are dealing with blessings. On this page 3, we start with this. So the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot. Now, just a quick intro to Sefer HaMitzvot, because there's a lot that's popularly thought about Sefer HaMitzvot. Sefer HaMitzvot, which the Rambam composed in Arabic, was composed for sort of a dual purpose. It was composed, first and foremost, as sort of the broad outline upon which the Mishnah Torah gets developed. If you look at the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam, we talk about every section that you open up in the Rambam starts with, this section includes the following seven mitzvot. Four mitzvot taseh, three mitzvot lo taseh, and just quotes the name of the mitzvah, and then it says, and the explication of these mitzvot is in the following chapters. So it's almost as if all of halacha is an explication of mitzvot. And so you have Sefer Mitzvot. But the other thing is Sefer Mitzvot was also a polemic, because the idea of Minyan HaMitzvot, of actually counting and reckoning what are mitzvot, is something that predated the Rambam by about 300 years or so. And some of the earlier works had said, these are the mitzvot, the 613 mitzvot, these are the 248 asay, 3 and 65 lot asay, which are the only numbers we're given in the famous drasha. We're not given any details. And the Rambam was really bothered by a lot of the things on that list. So he wrote the Sefer Mitzvot. He wrote the 14 paragraphs of introduction to explain what justifies getting on the list. And then he wrote the Sefer Mitzvot. And unlike other works like the Chinuch that organized it textually based on the psukim and the order they're in. He organized it thematically, starting with the mitzvah to know that there's a God, to love God, to fear God, etc. And therefore, the first cluster of mitzvot after that first doctrinal mitzvot is things having to do with worship of God, brachot, tefillin, etc. And so in mitzvah number 19, the Rambam says, mitzvah yotet, to bless God after all that we eat. And he quotes the pasuk, and he says, "Berachat mazon min haTorah." Good. So in source 10, he lays it out, which is in the Mishnah Torah, and he says, "Mitzvata semin haTorah levarech achar achilat mazon." It's a mitzvah to eat, to say, to bless God after eating food. And he quotes the pasuk, and then he points out, "Ve'ino chayav min haTorah elim kein sava." You're only obligated from the Torah if you were satiated. Shenamar, and he quotes the pasuk. And then he says, and we saw this last week, that if you eat even a kazayit, even if you weren't satisfied, midorabanan, you still have to make that bracha. Right? Then he addresses in the next two halachot, and I'll just do this outside because I want to move on into some other sources, the issue of amen. Now, when do we ever say amen after our own bracha? You're right, never. There's a rule. Amen achar b'chotav is mugunah. Somebody says amen after your own brachot, it's kind of silly. It's like repeating yourself. There's one exception and a possible three exceptions. The one exception that everybody does is B'nai Yerushalayim in Birkat HaMazon. And the Gemara asks that question, why do we say amen after, because this is already in times of the Gemara they were doing this. And the answer is to identify that Hatov HaMeitiv is Darabanan. In other words, it's like we've finished. We're like announcing we finished the Doraita Birkat HaMazon, the first three brachot. And that's why the next bracha starts with a new chat b'ticha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, because it's like starting a new thing.
I got to back up a second. You say we never say amen?
After our own bracha.
After our
own bracha. We never say a bracha and say amen.
All right. Okay. So I'm thinking of a repetition of Shimon Esrei.
We're saying to somebody else's, right. But we never say amen after our own, except for Bonei Yerushalayim.
Yeah, thank you.
Sfaradim, by the way, say it after Shomer Amo Yisrael Ad in Mariv. If you go to
the same reason?
For the same reason. It's the end of a series, and they get it from there. Uh-huh. Right? But for the most part, that's. And so he explains that here. But now I want to take you somewhere which is going to. Sorry for saying it's going to really blow your mind if you're accustomed to Birkat HaMazon, as we've all grown up with. Take a look in Source 11, the Midrash Tanchuma.
By the way, until you said it, I never even thought of it. I always thought of the Bnei Baruch HaMoram Yerushalayim Amen, that it's part of the bracha.
Right, so the bracha is Bnei Yerushalayim or Bnei Baruch HaMoram Yerushalayim. Amen. Amen. And so what some people do, and seems to be the correct custom, is to say Bnei Yerushalayim and then wait a half a beat and then say Amen along with everybody else saying Amen.
Right.
Okay.
What about Elenu?
Where do we say Amen in Olenu?
At the end of Olenu.
You mean in Kaddish? In Kaddish. We don't say Amen in Olenu. When we say Kaddish. So Kaddish, by the way, I'm glad you asked that, Bill, actually brings up an interesting misconception. And I remember talking to Pinchas Rabinovich. Remember Pinchas? Pinchas Rabinovich? Remember Pinchas? A very scholarly fellow pointed this out, that often when people say Kaddish, they'll say Yehi Shlomo Rabbi Shemayim V'chaim Aleinu V'al Kol Yisrael V'imru, and they wait. Like V'imru. And so that's not what it is. It's V'imru Amen. It's like, and you guys say Amen. So Amen there is actually part of the directive.
Right.
You're not answering Amen. You're telling people to say Amen. And then they say Amen. So take a look here at this at the Midrash Tanchuma. But the Baruch Hashem Shalom Ratzav Bnei Yisrael Ratzav Lim Ki Atem Ba'imo Ha'aretz Kanan. This is the Midrash Tanchuma in Mas'ei that talks about coming to the land and the details the borders of the land of Israel. Yilamdenu Rabbeinu. This is how Midrash Tanchuma. By the way, Midrash Tanchuma is a late Midrash, like 8th, 9th century, and it's otherwise known as Midrash Yilamdenu, because many of the paragraphs start as the student saying, "Teach us the law." And that becomes a vehicle for Midrash, and we assume it's Rabbi Tanchuma. And so, Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, Ad Shalom Nichansu Yisrael Aretz Ketzad Mivarchin Al Mazon. The question we asked last week. Before we entered the land, what was benching look like? What did it look like? If so much of the Birkat HaMazon is about Eretz Yisrael, What did it look like before we got there? And by the way, you could ask the other question, which is, since the Pasuk says, Al Haaretz HaTovah, why is there Berkat HaMazon at all before we come into the land? Right? Unless it's because of the promise of the land. So watch this. Ketzem V'chem HaMazon. Kach Shanu Rabotenu. So they've called a Braita that we don't know. Ad Shalom Nechatsu La'aretz Hayum V'achin Bracha Achat. Which means before we came into the land, there was one bracha, which is Hazan Et Hakol. God feeds the world. Mishnechlesu, once we entered the land, Hayum Vachim al Haaretz Ve'al Hamazon. Once we entered the land, and this parallels Rav Nachman's statement that Moshua was the one who established Berchat Hazan. Berchat Haaretz, sorry.
But would that have been done as a deraita?
That's going to be our problem here. That's exactly what we're trying to deal with. Kevan Shecharva Yerushalayim. Now notice what he says. Kevan Shecharva Yerushalayim. Hosifu Bnei Yerushalayim. Not when David conquered and built, and Shlomo then built the Mikdash, did we add Yerushalayim, but rather only at the end of the first commonwealth, when Yerushalayim was destroyed, they added another bracha, Uvnei Yerushalayim. Now, by the way, that helps us a little bit, because it means that nobody changed the words, because the words were always Uvnei Yerushalayim, rebuild. But it makes it very difficult, because that means the entire time that we're living there, and we have Yerushalayim, nobody's saying anything about Yerushalayim in the bracha. That's what we saw last week. That Atov Meitiv was added when they were able to bury the dead from Beitar, which is now another 700 years later or so. The most beloved of all of these is the bracha on Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Shkach amru chachamim, kol shenu mazkir b'brachan amazon al aretz v'al amazon, eretz chemda, tovar uchava, brit, v'torah, chayim amazon. Chazal say that if in Berkat HaAretz, there's a whole bunch of things you have to say. Now, let me clarify what that means. We have little benchalach on the table here. And after the meal, those people who ate bread pull out a bencher and recite a whole series of words that comprise a bracha, and a series of more words that comprise another bracha, etc. And that's how we bench. In the times of Chazal, there was no set formula, not for tefillah, not for Berkat HaMazon. But there was a skeleton. And the skeleton, much harder, the skeleton was that you have to say Berchat Hazan, you have to mention that God feeds the world, and you maybe have to say the Pasuk Noten Lachamu Chavasar Kidolam Chasdo. By the way, in the early Gaonic versions of Berchat Hazan, all four brachot were very short, but they all included a Pasuk. At night, there was a Pasuk for each one. But there were desiderata that you had, that some of them were sine qua non. You, if you do not say this, you haven't been yotzei the bracha. So, for instance, if you were to say bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Shakol Nivra, you weren't yotzei because you didn't say Melech HaOlam. Right? So in the same way, there's a whole list of things, and the Midrash is pointing out that the list is biggest in Berkat HaAretz. The Berkat HaAretz must be the most beloved one. Love that line. God says, I love Eretz Yisrael more than anything else. Nice, okay? All right, but again, it leaves us with the same problem of what did Berkat HaMazon look like before, and how do you say it's doraita to say all three brachot, and there are no brachot yet of those things. So the Rav Yah, that's 13th century Germany, makes the following observation. He quotes from Yochanan, Hatov mitiv tzricha malchut, meaning you have to say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam before you start Hatov mitiv. Umaskana amara papa lomar shetzricha shtei malchiyot, meaning you have to say two times Hamelech besides Hamelech HaOlam. Miru b'hazan ika malchut b'tchila hadabracha ulachilo tiknu gam kenegda. When you say Berchat Hazan, you start with Melech. Baruch, how do you start benching? Baruch Atah Hashem Melech HaOlam Hazan Atah Olam Kulo. No, Delach and Rachem don't have that at the beginning because they're part of a series. Hachi Amrina, and watch this. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Olam Ha'el Avinu Malkeinu, etc. Roi Yisrael. Now, here we go. This is wild. Meshe Moshe V'Yoshua V'David Tiknum. Who established these brachot? Moshe, then Yoshua, then David. V'lo Ayu Smuchim L'Chaverta. Now, let me ask you a question. When you say a bracha, how do you start the bracha every time without fail? Baruchat Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, or Elokeinu Elokei Avoteinu, the same thing. Except when you have a bracha that is part of a series of brachot, and it's not the first one. So, for instance, when you finish the haftarah, Baruch atah Hashem Chalam has Tzur Kol Amin Tzadik B'chol Adorot. And after you say Ayel Aman B'chol Dvarav, what's the next words? Rachem. And after you finish Sameach Tzon V'Ne'ah, you say how do you call it? Samchenu, right? And then Allah Kol. You don't start. Why? Because these brachot are never said outside of that sequence. And because of that, the sequence, you have the bracha at the beginning. Okay, that's why all of Shmoneh Esrei starts with one bracha, brachat Hashem L'Kenu L'Kenu L'Kenu, and the rest are all without any introductory line. Because they're all part of a system. You never say Barech Aleinu or Rifa'inu outside of that context. All right? He says that originally the bracha of Yerushalayim was said separately. And they originally were formulated with Baruch Atah Hashem L'Kenu Cholam, Rachem Al Yisrael, whatever, however you would say it. Then they join them together. Now he's looking at this very strange evolution of Birkat HaMazon. He's saying Moshe Rabbeinu established Hazanat HaOlam. Then what? Yoshua established Al Haaretz as a standalone. It sounds like instead of. It sounds like instead of. And then at some later point, they decided we're going to say all three of them. They weren't connected to each other.
But you're saying it's instead as opposed to added.
Because otherwise they are smuchim. When else are you going to say them after you eat? You're going to say one, two. One, two, one, whatever.
But you so could if, have had Baruch Atah introduction.
But why would you have it if it was always said as an order?
Because it's a different purpose.
Doesn't matter. It's if it's said in that sequence, that's how it's said. So what do? They have you say Melech three times in the thing. To remember it, that's not their main point. Main point is the Rav Yossi said something revolutionary here. He's saying that the way that Berkat HaMazon worked was Moshe Rabbeinu said, you say Hazanat HaOlam Kulo. You praise God for feeding the world. Good. When you came in Eretz Yisrael, now instead of that you say Baruch Atah Hashem L'Kol Olam, Asher Natata Lanu Eretz Tova Ruchava, Asher Tzadra, Baruch Atah Hashem Al Haaretz V'Hazon. And when Yerushalayim was built and Beit HaMikdash was built, they seem to replace it. And then at some later point, they said, you know what? Let's say all of them. And so all of them, suddenly, we're going to take out the Baruch at the beginning of numbers 2 and 3 because they're part of a system.
Well, of course they did that.
What do you mean, of course they did that? Yeah, it's very strange. No, but then how do you have a Doraita? How do you say I'm saying that all three are Doraita if you're saying that the three were choices that ultimately got put together? That's part of that's the nut we're trying to crack.
But
so if
what you do with the shofar blowing?
Yes and no. I knew you were going to go there. All right. You're talking. But I knew. But I knew. What Jason's bringing up is that Rabbi Avahu made the famous takana and the way the Baal Amor explains what he did was that there were three different sounds that were potential trua. Either what we call Shvarim, or we call Trua, or we call Shvarim Trua. And he said, and really all of them are okay. But because they had different minagim, he said, you know what, we're going to do all of them. Which is kind of like the ultimate unity, we're going to do everybody's way. Okay? But that's not the same thing as here. Because now you're not only altering brachot, but you're doing something else fundamental, which is, you're claiming that the brachot were originally A or B or C, which fulfills the Doraita. But how can you claim that Hazan and Al Haaretz and all Yerushalayim are all Doraita, when for the first, shall we say, 500, 800 years of their existence, they were either, say, A or B, and when B came along, A went to the side, and then you say C and B goes to the side, and then at some later point, somebody says, you know what, let's say all three of them, and we'll change, take the opening out.
But maybe it relates to the situation of what Israel's in.
But again, you still have the problem. If the Doraita, as we saw last week, was that you have to thank God for food, and you have to thank God for the land, and you have to thank God for Yerushalayim, then how does this work?
Okay.
Right? So now, in source 13, which is Rivarin HaKohen Milunel, Lunel was Provence, which is in Provence, which is the hotbed of Torah scholarship in 12th, 13th centuries, he writes, Echot Berchat HaMazon.
Provence?
Provence. Harav Rabbeinu, even the Rambam, you don't need to have a kos for it. It's a machloka in the Gemara. Why do you need to say melech twice? This is what the Rav Yo was saying, is that we dropped out the word melech from Nodelecha and from Rachem that used to be there, so we now have three in Hatova Meiti. I'd like to make sure we mention all three. Tarshar Shmuel ki Moshe Rabbeinu tiken berchat hazan. You ready for this? It's the same thing. Moshe Rabbeinu established berchat hazan. Yoshua berchat haaretz v'David bonei Yerushalayim. That's the Gemara. B'pticha u'b'chatima. This is what the Rav Yoh said. That each one of them made a bracha that was a standalone bracha, thanking God for food, thanking God for the land, thanking God for Yerushalayim. V'chibrum chachamim. And later chachamim came, later, not then, later chachamim came along, turned them into one sequence. V'natlu amalchiyot mirosham. And they took out a melech from the beginning of the numbers 2 and 3, because they're part of a sequence. Because they remember Rosh Brachat HaTov. That's why HaTov Meitiv has three of them. It's a very strange thing. And you have a similar comment, Rabbeinu Yerucham, also in Provence. Seder Brachat Mazon, Moshe Tiken Brachat Hazan, Yoshua Brachat HaAretz, Shehi Noda Lacha. Shlomo Bocher Bonei Yerushalayim, David Tiken Mena Ad Al HaBayit, Shlomo Tiken HaShar, we saw this last week. V'um Vachin Ota Korem David Shlomo. Now, notice what he says. Before David Shlomo, we used to make the Bracha, V'hem Tiknu HaMatbeah. Now, this is actually a different take. He's saying, really, from the very beginning, we thank God for food, we thank God for the land, we thank God for the city, without a name, probably. What happens, Yeshua came along and put the wording in, once we entered the land. And David and Shlomo came in and put in the wording for the Yerushalayim Bracha once it was built. Tov Meiti V'yavna Tiknua. All right. So now, turn the page, and we're going to see, and I think more than anything else, it's like a tour of some fascinating observations about Berkat HaMazon. And I just want to cut down to the Urim, and I was showing you the Nusach that we have from the Geniza Berkat HaMazon. I take a look at the Abu Derham on your own, but in the Urim is Rav Elazar Mimetz, 13th century in Germany. Berkat HaMazon, Tzivah Yotzer, Ha'ochel Lechem Tzerek Shiva HaMerech Gimel Brachot. This brings us back to our original problem. The Doraita is six brachot, right? Ve'im Gimel Heim. What?
Six brachot.
Three brachot.
You said six.
Okay. Gimel brachot, sorry, three. Three brachot. Lacharav, Ve'im Gimel Heim. If there's three people, she's Amnu V'yavu Yachad. Say it together. Kedit Nan. And he quotes the Mishnah. Menahani Mili. And he quotes it. And then it says Achata Savata. That's how we know if it's on bread. Tan brachot, etc. Minayin brachot mazon haTorah. Achata Savata brachta brachat hazan. Atashon lekach brachat zimun. Atashon haaretz. Atavaz v'nishalayim, etc. Tomei tivi yavne tignu. In other words, he quotes the way that the Gemara quotes. But again, we have the same essential problem. How do you say that brachat mazon doraita is these three brachot, and yet you have these Rishonim who are commenting on a statement in the Gemara? Why do we need three Malchiyot in the last Bracha to make up for the missing Melech in Bracha number 2 and 3? Their observation is, since the statement is that Yoshua wrote Berchat Haaretz, he wrote it as a standalone. It started out Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Cholam. Same thing with David before Yerushalayim. Or, more extreme version, at Chorban Yerushalayim. Very strange. And then at a later point, they looped them together, so they had to take the ptichot out, so they, at the end, to not forget them, they put them in that extra.
Oh, the melech is from the Okeinu Melech. That's the
right. Okay. They had to put it into the end, which itself is very weird, like, because you missed it there, you have to make it up here. It's also bizarre. But that's a statement in the Gemara. And so they come up with these very bizarre formulations that we have a Birchat HaMazon Doraita that obligates us to thank God for one thing and praise God for something else and request something else. And it has essentially only doing one of them, and then another one, and then another one, and later putting it all together. So how's the Doraita? So take a look at this, that the wording, and again, by the way, if you look through different Geniza fragments, you will find, not only in Tefillah, but in Berkat HaMazon, and lots of things that will just drive you nuts, that because you know, you assume, of course, that Rabbi Kiva sat in, you know, a bench like we bench, right? This is from the Geniza, and I'm going to guess 7th century, but I don't know. Baruch Hashem l'cholam hazan otanu v'taolam kulo b'tov. B'chein b'chet, by the way, Baruch Hashem here is much shorter also than ours, right? And the tunes don't work, right? Eloheinu avinu, but they also, actually,
they
thought about it. They said, I mean, re'enu parnaseinu ve'al tatsuchinu l'idemat nat basar v'adam. What are you noticing here? What are you noticing in this bracha? What do you notice in this bracha?
Bracha.
What?
It takes, well, we have split up. It's
exactly. This may be the answer to that problem. Is that they may, it may be that what they had, and I'm going to picture it as follows, and we'll take a look at the next one. Remember, these are things you have to mention in all arts. Which, by the way, is a theme of the first bracha. Right? And so, very likely what's happened here is that, and you can look at the Nuschaot, is that when we say Moshe Rabbeinu established Berchat Hazan, if you're going to tell me that all that Midoraita, what do you have to thank God for? I'm going to say it differently. Not what do you have to say. What do you have to thank God for? Thank God for food. Praise God for food. Thank God for the land. And a bracha of Yerushalayim, which may mean a bracha about our sovereignty or that special place without a necessary name. So what you can easily imagine is that Moshe Rabbeinu composes a bracha at the falling of the man, which includes all three themes, but the focal point is the man. And Yeshua then, what does he do? He writes a different bracha, which is one bracha about the land, which of course thanks God for coming, thanks God for bringing us to the land, and pleads to protect us. And then when David builds the Shalim,
but functionally, how does he add it without violating adding?
He's not adding. He's writing a whole different bracha. He's saying, I've got a different nusach of this bracha based on changed circumstances. Till now, the land was a dream. So the focal point is the man, feeding us. Now we're in the land. The focal point becomes the land, but feeding us is part of it.
But not connected to the pasuk of Bersavata.
Sure it is. Sure it is.
But, I mean, not to any of the three parts of that.
Exactly, because when, according to these Rishonim, when does the tripartite limud come from that pasuk? Only afterwards when they decided to put them together, not as one bracha that includes three themes, but as three distinct brachot, which then the numbers 2 and 3 don't have a pticha anymore. So in other words, the way that the Rav Yah and the how do you call it? The Rav Yah and the Rav Aharon HaKohen presented it was that there were originally one bracha and then substituted with another bracha or side by side with, but again, why have a pticha there? And then a third, and then at some later point they get strung together, and so Melech drops out of number 2 and 3. But what it tells you is something phenomenal about the evolution of tefillah. Is that tefillah doesn't start with a, and this is not part of an argument in favor of the Nusach of Nachem, I don't think you need an argument for that, it's pretty pshita. But that the bracha always reflects the current reality. Right now we're not in the land, so the land is yet something to speak about in the future. But we're getting fed. Now we're in the land, so the land is something to speak about in the present. God feeding the world is always part of it. Yerushalayim, a special place, has not yet been designated, so that's somewhere in the future. When we have that designated place, then the shift happens. And then what happened is that at some later point, according to those we've shown him, at some later point, there was a desire to trifurcate this system into three distinct epics and three distinct stages of praise. And so therefore, instead of having choice, column A, column B, column C, it became a series of brachot, which then changed the mechanics of the saying of the bracha.
What about when you lose the land?
So, an interesting thing about Jewish history is Jewish history never rolls backwards. You think about it. Yeah, Jewish history never rolls backwards.
My interpreter's notes tell me that.
No, I don't mean practice. I mean Jewish history never rolls backwards. We don't say now that we lost this. We might mourn its loss at a different opportunity, but when we're celebrating its existence, we celebrate it even though currently we don't have it. And the best example of that, of course, is Seder night, right? Where we imagine as if we're in Yerushalayim doing Korban Pesach. So anyhow, hopefully a different angle into understanding some of the mechanics of Berkat HaMazon. But again, on the larger level of how tefillah evolves, and we have cut dozens of examples of this, but this is in a sense the biggest one because it's talking about things that are da'oraita, and yet the particular phraseology used and focal point shifts as events and circumstances shift.